our brains are wired for connection, but trauma rewires them for protection. That's why healthy relationships are difficult for wounded people. Do these words speak to you? Trauma can come from many difficult sources, and sometimes this includes those closest to you, your family. Negative experiences you had growing up, or even heavy responsibilities and expectations placed on you throughout your childhood, can often be too difficult to forget. Psychologists call these adverse childhood experiences, potentially traumatic events that can happen from a child's birth until they reach adulthood. According to Centers for Disease and Prevention, these events are linked to chronic health problems, mental illnesses, and substance use problems in adolescence and adulthood. So even as you grow up and replace the family you were born into with the family you choose for yourself, it's still hard to let go of the trauma. It seems as if the ghosts of your past come alive and try to make it all about them once again. And even if you know in your heart that your partner is not the parent who hurt you, it may not help.
And it may not help. And like they said in that clip right there, sometimes, especially now as we dive into dating, because we know dating apps, these Netflix reality shows that always talk about Love is Blind and all these type of shows, it is what people drool over. And a lot of times, I'm sure a lot of you guys have experienced it, especially the fellas, because, you know, if you listen to social media, women are perfect and every single breakup is our fault. But I know I've gone through this before. I've spoken to plenty of men who have gone through this before where men hold on to trauma as well. But like I said, I can only speak from my point of view, because a lot of women hold on to past trauma from past relationships. This episode was kind of initiated because I had a conversation with somebody via Instagram who said that she suffers from PTSD and it carries over into her dating life. And then she mentioned some things from her father and past relationships that plays a part into why she is so hesitant, and also why, you know, it's kind of a form of self-sabotage, not in a way in which she is being intentional about doing that, but past life experiences have shaped her mind to where it plays a huge factor in that happening. And on this episode, I want to have a conversation with somebody who's 44 years old. She was married for 28 years. 28 years. Now, I believe that now she's divorced, but somebody who was in a relationship for that extreme amount of time, to be 44, have a relationship that you was in for 28 years, that is well more than 50% of your entire life was with a guy. Now, that relationship was not all the best, so I want to have a conversation with her about how did she overcome her PTSD, her trauma, how did she heal from her past relationship and not place that heavy burden on a new man? Because oftentimes we see a lot of that where a woman may date a man and he might be bad, he might be abusive, he might be negative, he might be quote unquote toxic, and now everything he did is now placed on another man's feet. We see too much of that to where a woman might start dating a new man as a way to heal. And I stay all the time on here, man. A new relationship is not healing. If you need help, go to therapy. If you need help, go to counseling. Talk to somebody in some shape or form. Laying on your back is not healing. Getting a new man is not healing. So on this episode, man, I want to focus on relationship trauma and also ways in which you can heal, how to overcome PTSD, things you should do. And you guys are going to hear some of that firsthand from somebody who actually experienced that, somebody who had to leave a relationship, somebody who had to go heal, somebody who had two kids from that previous relationship but needed to take the proper steps to make sure she was in a good place so that she can potentially give her all, or at least give the best parts of herself to somebody new and not punish him for what the last man did. So I want you guys to stay locked in, stay tuned. Then let's get to the intro, because we got a focused, great episode for you guys today. Let's get to the intro.
It's that lunchroom chatter podcast, you know, where you sit up and think about fucking your girl's best friend, but you can't because your girl's a fighter and she'll fuck you up. This that lunchroom chatter podcast where you lay up and think about being a porn star, but you can't because you come too quick, so you gotta eat the pussy for 95 minutes. That kind of shit. This that lunchroom chatter podcast where you in bed at night thinking about beating your meat, but you can't because you live with your mama. And she busts in the room and said, bitch, get the fuck up. Mama, why you ain't knock on the door first? This that kind of shit. Where you can be yourself, where you can relax, where you could put yourself into the mind of another nigga. So stay tuned. Let's get this shit popping. Lunchroom Chatter Podcast, baby.
Welcome back. You guys are now locked in, tuned in to a brand new episode of that LCP. Now,
brand like new I said, LCP.
I want to have a focused episode. I want to have a great conversation with one of my good friends, Soraya. Like I said, somebody who was in a relationship for more than 60% of her life. So I want to talk about relationship healing. And I'm sure that she can give you guys a lot of great advice. And then on the flip side, I'm going to try to give the fellas some good advice. So we're going to have a balanced episode. We're going to flip it. We're going to do what we got to do. And hopefully a lot of people can also be more realistic and not solely rely on social media for every aspect of their life. Because if you rely on social media, like I always say, man, you're going to walk yourself into a fucking ditch because a lot of it is bullshit. That's why you got to have great conversations. That's why you got to just have healthy dialogue with people who actually kind of know what they're talking about. So let's get Soraya on the phone and hopefully she can give you guys some great, great advice. Let's get on the phone. All right, let me clap it up. Well, you know, first of all, before we get into it, how are you? Let me start there. How are you? How's your day going? How's your mental health? Just how you feeling?
I'm feeling really good. Today is a good day. I had some meetings this morning, but other than that, I'm doing really well as far as mental.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a good mental space right now.
I mean, that's great to hear. Now, like I said, like the reason why, like, you came to my mind when I wanted to have this episode because, you know, like I told you off mic, you was in a relationship that, well, that spanned it more than about 65% of your life. It's nobody better than you that can just give a lot of women, even the fellas, you know, some good advice on relationship healing. You work on yourself mentally before you even dive back in to the dating space. So now in 2024, like, what is your opinion on, like, the dating space that we are in now? Like, what's your views on that currently?
It's filled with piss. Straight up piss. Yellow, foul, stinking piss.
But can it be saved, though? Can we save the dating space in some shape or form? And, you know, hopefully that this episode can at least lead to some of the saving. But can it be saved?
I don't know. I mean, my personal experience, when I first started off, like, getting into the dating scene,
mm-hmm.
because based off my experience, I'm pretty sure you'll go into all those details, but I was new to dating, so mm-hmm. I was pretty much a fish out of water, what I've been experiencing, not been good. I've been catfished twice, a woman being catfished out in these dating streets.
Wait. You say you was like catfished how? Like, was it like a whole different person in general? Like, did he not look the same? Was he short?
Okay, one of the catfish I met on Facebook dating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was on Facebook dating, and the brother, his pictures were taken at different angles, and I had a difficult time. I know his photos looked a little off.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I didn't pay it any attention.
Did you FaceTime him? Did you FaceTime him before y'all went out to meet? Or did y'all just jump into it?
No. After me being catfished, that's when I started requiring FaceTime because of those situations. I wasn't doing FaceTime before then, like video chat. But after I was catfished, I was like, you know, I gotta do a video.
I mean, you got to because like you said, you know, when it comes to pictures, when it comes to different angles, a lot of people don't look how they look in their pictures. Like, in their pictures, they be looking all sexy, they be looking all exotic, and then you see them in person, and it don't look the same.
Well, this brother, he not only didn't look the same, but he was triple the person. So he
Now, when you said triple, was he like XXXXL triple, or what you mean?
I mean, like my 600-pound life triple. You know, like the show.
Oh, we gonna boo. God damn, he was that big?
Yes, he was that big. And I would talk to him for like a week.
I mean, no, but don't do that. But big people need love, too. Big people need that love and affection.
Yes, that is true. That is true, John. But you have to let somebody know that you are. I could see if you have a few extra pounds or something like that. I know there's a lot of brothers who like BBW.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? So, yes, bigger people need love, too. But I'm not attracted to a man of that size. I'm short. I'm pretty petite. So when I met him at Starbucks, he was struggling to get out the car.
Oh, hell no.
Yes, he was struggling. The brother had cankles. He didn't have ankles.
Ooh, you a lie.
I don't believe it. That's crazy. It's no way.
I'm being 100 with you right now. And so when I met him at Starbucks, the parking lot was crowded. And so I didn't recognize him at first because he looked different. So I'm walking across the parking lot. And he was like, Soraya. And I'm like, looking at him, he said, it's Charles.
So he was happy. So he was excited to see you. He was excited.
Yeah. He was excited, but I wasn't excited. I wasn't excited. So I'm walking up to him, and he was already struggling to get out the car. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, you don't look like your photos. I told him this. I said, you don't look like your photos.
You told him that to his face?
Yes.
Come on.
I did. I said it to his face. I said, you don't look like your photos. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, did you use filters? And he was like, well, no. I was like, you use filters and you don't look like your photos. And I said, you pretty much, when were you going to tell me that you were much larger? Because this brother was over, he had to been like over 600 pounds. He wasn't like short. He had to been like maybe 5'11".
And you
like
couldn't tell 60. From the pictures? You couldn't tell he was that big from the pictures?
No, because he took it from the waist up. And then like he would lay in the bed and had the phone, whatever, the phone at a certain angle. So I couldn't get a true depiction of how he looked. So, and then he used filters on his photo to clean up some stuff.
I mean, but at the end of the day, you got to live and learn when it comes to stuff like that. And like you said, after you had that bad experience one time, like, you know what you got to do? You got to keep doing FaceTime, especially before you meet people, because you got to. You got to do it now.
That's exactly what I did. You do. Because I asked him, I said, he said, well, I'm just really bad at taking photos. I said, no, you pretty much, you don't look anything like your photos. And I said, you pretty much catfished me. You deceived me. And then
you killed
he was
my
like,
man's self-esteem. Jesus.
Well, God. I'm sorry. He should have been honest and upfront. Like, don't be told. Don't. And I said, well, we were talking like for a week. Did you not think to tell me that you were much bigger? And I said, I don't mind dating people that have a few extra pounds. I mean, there's brothers who weigh over 300 pounds and they carry their weight well.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to
Was he short?
Dating,
was he so, short? Like, what was
no,
his height?
He was like around 5'11".
I mean, that's kind of shortest, especially if you that big. Because you got to be like 6'4", 6'5", to be 300, and like the weight is be evenly distributed. So if you like 5-something, and you like 4'5",
so he was like 5'11", and he had to weigh at least 600 pounds. I mean, he looked like those people from that show. I think it's TLC.
Yeah, 600-pound life. That's crazy. But don't do that. But
no, I told him I was respectful. I wasn't disrespectful or anything like that. I just told him, I said, you need to be upfront honest. I said, you know, the next person, I told him, you've done this to other people. I may not be in the first or the last, but I told him, you need to let people know. Give people the opportunity to make the decision for themselves. And he said, well, I didn't think he was going to like me. I said, well, you don't know. I said, you should have at least given me that opportunity to decide for myself. You know, I said, there's brothers who like BBWs. There's women who may look at you and think you're, you know, a wonderful teddy bear. And I said, you know, there's someone out there for you, but it just ain't me. And I told him, I said, I'm leaving. I feel like I was deceived. And I got in my car.
Did you see him again?
No.
Oh, you blocked him?
No, I blocked him when I got into the car.
You blocked him because he was fat.
No, I blocked him because he was
shallow. And I thought I was shallow. You blocked him because he was fat.
No, I blocked him because he catfished me. He lied. Then Pussy was 600 pounds. So I'm little.
Now, to kind of segue, now when it comes to relationships and relationship healing, like, do you think that relationship healing is important, or do you think that somebody jumping into a new relationship, that's a form of healing? Because people do that.
A lot of people don't heal. They shouldn't. Relationship healing is very, very important, because if you don't, you're hopping from relationship to relationship, and you still have that baggage. Some women have PTSD. Oof. Some women have gone through trauma, or, you know, domestic violence, or, you know, or just been treated bad. Mm-hmm. You need that relationship healing. So what I personally did, like you said, I was married for almost 3 decades. I was in that one relationship for 26 years, mm-hmm. married for 23 and a half years, and got married young at 19 years old. So, and I'm 44 now. So what I did was I took the time that I needed to heal. I went to therapy. I did some self-reflection, and I've been divorced for 2 years, but I didn't want to go into or even start dating without being in a good mental state. I didn't feel like the next man that I may get into a relationship with, I wanted him to have my authentic self. I wanted him to be able to access all of me without any issues.
That's the part that's important, because, you know, I got encouraged like around maybe mid-November to, you know, to try out Hinge and Facebook dating. And what I kept coming across was people who did the opposite of what you said. Like, I came across so many people, how long you been single? And like a common answer was, you know, last week me and my man broke up, or last month. And in my mind, I'm like, should you even be here? I came across somebody who was in a relationship for 12 years. They broke up a week ago, and they had already jumped on the app. 12-year relationship, 1 week single. Like, to me, you're not single, because as you know, a lot of times, like, couples, they break up and they can still get back together. So a week is not enough time after a breakup to even entertain the thought. And she said, you know, a long-term partner, a lifetime partner. You've been single for a week. And, like, that's my issue. And, like, that's a lot of the people that I've come across, people who haven't done the work, who haven't put the time to actually heal before, as you said, give somebody, you know, your true authentic self.
And that's what you have to do, because you're going into a new relationship, and if you're jumping from relationship to relationship and using that as a form of healing, you're not giving that man the opportunity, because the minute you get into an argument, you're comparing him to your previous relationship. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't completely heal or get rid of any of that extra baggage, or you don't do any self-reflection. If you have made mistakes in your previous relationship, you're going to take those mistakes into your new relationship. So it's going to be a cycle of bad relationships.
To follow up on that, so now when it comes to like serial dating, like people who just date person after person after person after person, they might go on, let's say, 7 to 8 dates a week. Okay, yeah, I'm not interested. And then the next week, it's a whole nother batch of people. Like, do you think that that's something that, I guess, that's beneficial? Is it counterproductive? Because people do it. Men and women do it.
It's counterproductive. Look, I mean, I'm not going to tell another woman what she can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. But I think it's counterproductive. A lot of these women are just looking for a free meal ticket. You know what I'm saying? So they're dating. I know a sister who had multiple men for different things. So she had a man who was her travel buddy.
Oh, she had variety.
Took her out to dinner. Yes, a man that took her out to dinner. Her road trip man. Her maintenance man. These are men that she was dating.
But was she having sex with all these men, or was she just kind of?
Yes. Yes. Oh,
Jesus Christ. Because yes, it says a serial dater is somebody who jumps from one relationship to another before they make any long-term commitments. It says they enjoy the thrill of the chase and keep things casual, fun, and romantic. Like, I don't see how that can be beneficial, but like I said, maybe that's just me.
I feel the same way, because I can't multitask like that, because you're trying to remember conversations, you may be talking to someone who got kids, and then you might call you another guy.
You might get confused.
I just can't multitask like that. So, I mean, I've talked to brothers who was like, I don't want no cereal day. They have it like in their program. I don't want no cereal day. They don't think I'm a meal ticket. And there are women who, you know, use the opportunity to go on these dates, because especially if the man is paying for, most men tend to pay for the date, you know. So they go to restaurants, do activities, and that's a way, a form of not being bored. Now, I'm not knocking someone who does that, but it's just personally not for me, because I can't keep up with a lot of different conversations. I just can't. I don't have the time or patience to be talking to 5, 6, 7 different men and going on multiple dates a week. I'm just, I mean, I have a life, I'm busy.
I mean, but like you said, people do it. And, you know, about maybe last year sometime, you know, I had a female listener tell me, but she said back in her younger days that she used to go on about 5 to 6 dates a week. She did it to eat because it was free food. As you said, she said, you know, I go on these dates, the men pay, I might have been hungry one night, I jump on the app, boom, I got some free food. So people do have their intentions, or I guess they motives for doing that, but also you got to be mindful too, because you got to be careful about playing with people's feelings. When you meet men on the app, especially as a woman, Like you don't know if this man is stable. Is he unstable mentally? And now you play with his feelings, his emotions. You could end up dead, to be like that's blunt, true. To be upfront.
And that's why I'm not a serial dater. I just personally, for me, it's not counterproductive. I just don't want to, because I've had, you know, there may be men who are very interested in me. And if I'm talking to so many different, he may be more interested in me than I'm interested in him. And I don't want the next guy.
So what do you tell him? Is that something that you be upfront about? Is it something that you kind of hide to protect his feelings? How do you go about that situation? If it's a guy and like he really, really liked you, but you're not as interested in him as he is in you, like how do you tell him that?
I would tell him that, hey, you know, right now I'm not looking to rush into anything right now. And I don't accept any dates or anything from him, because if he's asking me, if he's wanting to spend time with me, I'm not going to take it there with him, because.
But would you still communicate? Because like sometimes still communicating can send mixed signals, even if that's not your intention.
No, I don't do that. I just let him know, hey, this is not what I'm looking for. Especially if I know I'm not interested in him. I don't want to be strung along, and I don't want to string other.
You're right. You got to be upfront. Like being upfront solves so many issues. Being upfront solves a lot of the drama that we see in dating. If people just be open, be honest, be upfront, and just don't play games. Like so much of the, as you said, the piss in the dating pool. Like, it'll become way, way clearer. But people don't do it.
That's true. And honesty goes a long way. You know, it's important. And you don't want to give off the wrong ideal. And especially if, regardless if you're a man or a woman, if that person is, you can tell they're interested in you, just be honest. Just like, hey, I'm not there yet. I'm not looking for a relationship right now. I'm just wanting to date. I want to, you know, just open to maybe a relationship later on. But right now, I'm just not there yet. Just be honest, because some people are dating with a purpose. Some people are wanting to settle down. Some people are just wanting to date and just have fun. Some people want friends with benefits. It just all depends on the individual. So just be honest and upfront with your intentions.
That part right there, like, it kind of segues into my next point, because, okay, so you said you was in a relationship for 26 years. Somebody else who might have had a similar relationship, like, how long do you think a person should remain single before they even try to get back into the dating space? Or does it vary depending on different circumstances?
It varies, but here's my point that I want to make to a lot of women who may be in a situation like this. You know when you're ready, if you can have a conversation with a potential suitor that you're not bringing up your ex.
Mm.
Because a lot of men and women don't want to keep having a conversation and you're constantly bringing up your ex.
We'll if talk you find about yourself,
if you find yourself dating or talking or courting or whatever you want to call it, and you're constantly bringing up your ex, or you're saying, oh, you know, my ex did this or my ex did that, or you comparing your current situation to your previous situation,
mm-hmm.
that's a problem. And you should not be on a dating app. You should not be going out on dates because you're not ready. You're not ready. And you need to take that time to heal, because you, if you're coming out, especially if you're in a relationship that long, like me, I was in a relationship for that long.
Mm-hmm.
I was 19 years old. Well, I was 17 when I met my ex-husband.
Sheesh.
But yeah, I was 17 years old when I met him, and I got married when I was 19. So mm-hmm. you can imagine my situation.
Why so young though? Why so young? Or like, did it just kind of naturally happen that way?
Because
that's a young at 19, like because I think back to myself at 19. I can't imagine myself at 19, like going through vows.
Yes, he, like my ex-husband, he was a freshman in college. So he was 19 and I was 17 when I met him. So mentally, he was already mature. He was
Is 19 mature? No, or was I'm he saying, more mature than 19, you mean?
He was more mature than 19. He was 19, but mentally, he was probably closer to 25,
mm-hmm.
mentally, because he was a freshman in college, and he already had told me. He was like I was, we had, was hanging out. On the third day of hanging out, he was like, you're going to be my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him he was freaking crazy. I was like, you're crazy. I'm not, you talking crazy. But he was like, no, you're going to be my wife. I already know. He was already looking, planning to... Mm-hmm. after graduation, you know, buying a house. And he had his plans in place, and he wanted to make me part of that, those plans. But yeah, it just ended up happening naturally. But he already had in his mind that he wanted me. So he was like, you're gonna be my wife. And I said, no, you're talking crazy. But sure enough, I ended up being his wife.
For a long ass time, too.
Like I said,
me, I'm 34, so you was damn near married my whole life. Which is, I'm saying, which is even crazy to think about.
Yeah. And then and being so young, and, you know, I had my kids, I had my first child at 21.
Mm-hmm.
So my kids are grown, but... At the same time, you know, dating in high school, like when you're in high school, it's completely different than when you're trying to get out here as a grown ass woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm 17. You can attribute that to puppy love.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. That goes back to a topic I had before, and in relation to why I think a lot of men, even women, often like they might be 40, 45 years old, but sometimes they settle for somebody that's 19 to 20 because that person has not yet accumulated a lot of relationship trauma. Because as we know, sometimes when you get 45, 50 years old, especially depending on everything that you've gone through, a lot of that trauma, it stays there. It lingers. And sometimes it's tough to deal with if you didn't work on it while being single.
And plus, on top of that, when you are like 44 and been in one relationship for so many years, you don't have the, you know, some women, when they're in and out of relationships and been treated bad.
Yeah.
The one plus that I do have going for me is that I haven't been in and out of relationships. So I haven't had to deal with a lot of trauma. I've had my own individual trauma from my relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But just imagine some of the women, the sisters that are out here having to deal with it from multiple men.
Mm-hmm.
So they see this, and so some of them, not all, become bitter because, and then that runs into when you're relationship hopping, all that trauma, all that bitterness, and you're wanting to heal, mm-hmm. using relationships as a form of healing, it doesn't get any better. And it's just a big old cycle.
In my experience with dating, like that's something I've gone through to where, you know, I end up with somebody, you know, and, you know, me being younger at the time and more hopeful, like I had hope that things would change. But then as time went on, as the years go by, because they go by, like the years go by fast. And like you just sit that's back so and you realize like how much unresolved trauma that a person can have and how counterproductive it is. As you just said, always bringing up exes and realizing that, okay, this person is not over something that happened in the past. And there's no way that I can fix that. It's
that
tough.
That is so true.
It's tough.
It is tough. It is tough. And also ladies, even men, it's very important that if you are in a situation where you had dealt with any type of physical abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse, or even verbal abuse, it's very important before you even think about dating. I implore you to please seek counseling, get therapy, because therapy works. I went through therapy. And don't be afraid to seek help, because especially if it was very traumatic, you don't want to go into another relationship and you having some residue from your past relationship. If your woman or your man reach out to you and you have influx, you know, you're jumpy.
Like I said, going back to the end of last year, like when I had first got on the apps and I came across somebody. And, you know, this is what her profile said. It says, I have PTSD from verbal abuse from my ex-husband of 16 years. If you want to know more, just ask. But now, if you had that in your bio, like how exactly is that appealing to somebody who might want a serious relationship?
She shouldn't even be on the app.
You shouldn't be on the app. Like, go, as you said, go take your ass to counseling, therapy. Go talk to somebody, especially because you still have that current PTSD from 16 years. So now a new man is going to have to go through that. Is going to have to, you know, hopefully hang tough. You know, sometimes people are difficult to deal with. People don't want to sit there for months and years and have to go through and have to fight to break down some walls. Like, everybody got trauma. Like, nobody out here is walking around with no trauma, especially in the world we live in now. Everybody has trauma.
I agree. I agree with you 100%, and that's why I'm a huge supporter of mental health. And I feel like individuals shouldn't be out here dating when they need to heal, and don't have any expectations.
Really?
You know, I know
not to have.
I'm just saying when you're on a dating app.
Oh, okay.
Have what you want, but don't. Like, just lower your expectations, because it more than likely 9 times out of 10, it's not going to go the way you want.
You're giving me a lot of hope right now, Sarai. You're giving me some hope. So what you're telling me is that 100. If I go on the app, just have no expectations. So just expect to find dumpster trash. Is that what you're telling me?
Pretty much. Yes. And I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to be negative, but you got so many people out here who are lying. Their bios aren't what they truly are. So they're writing bios to appeal to the opposite sex. So a lot of
you got to sell yourself. You got to sell yourself. You got to give off the best illusion.
We're in a digital age.
We really are.
So a lot of people had to get with the program. And so many people are so busy running their businesses or working.
Kids, got kids and shit.
Got kids. They just don't have time to, you know, the old-fashioned way, you know, meet somebody at church or the library, the grocery store. People are running in and running out. You know, they don't have time to be standing in an aisle talking to somebody. Like, can I get your number? Like,
but there's a chance it could still happen, but it's greatly reduced compared to how it used to be.
It's rare. Like,
you're making me sad. You're making me sad, man.
I'll just say, I'll keep it at 100. Like,
100%.
It's nothing wrong with, it's nothing wrong with dating apps. It's just using them effectively. You know, I don't see anything wrong with online dating. I feel like online dating is okay if you keep your expectations in check, if you practice safety. if you know, you're not out
That's
there.
That's a major one. Safety is a major one because about maybe a month ago, I had a story on the podcast where a woman met a man on an app. She met him and within that, I think within 24 to 48 hours, like, you know, she let him know, she let him know where she lived at. He showed up. I guess things didn't go the way he wanted. They ended up not having sex and he killed her in her house. But my thing was that, as you said, safety, because like this is the place where you live by yourself with your child. Mm-hmm. She gave this man her home address where you lay your head at. Where you lay your head.
Get to know an individual first, you know, before you just give your address out. Like, if you know this person.
She was excited. She was excited. You know, she met somebody, like somebody who she thought, because as you said, people sell themselves. They come off a certain way, and he came off this amazing, great, loving guy. But I'm like, it was only 2 days. You can't judge off 2 days. 2 days is too quick. Exactly. It's too quick. Like when they say honeymoon stage, 2 days is the stage before that. It's too soon. No, it's too soon.
Right. I agree. It is too soon. And some women are just going out here and not. I'm like.
But it's tough not to.
Yeah. But at least when you're first meeting someone, at least send a family member or a friend, let them know where you're going. One, the establishment, who you're going to be with, who they look like. If you're doing an old school.
Unless they catfish you and look like they 600 pounds, then you're not going to know how they look. You're not going to know how they look, so.
I know I have taken pictures of license plates.
Oh, you was an Inspector Gadget. Hey, I like it though.
Yeah, I mean, like in the beginning, like when you don't know the person, like, hey, this is his license plate. This is the make and model of his car. And letting them know this is what he looked like. He's about this height. He looked like this. And I would send that to a friend. I would send that to my friend. And she was like, okay, if I didn't check in with, she would check in on me. How you doing? Are you okay?
100%.
That's what I would do. And even my daughter, 23. I have let her know, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, just to give you a heads up, just in case anything happens. I've done that. So, yeah, just be safe out there, ladies and gentlemen.
That's something you got to do. And like I said, I want to clap it up for you, man, because like I said, like especially everything you said towards the end, like safety is a major part, because like you said, people go on apps for different reasons. Some people go to find love. Some people go to actually meet somebody great. And, you know, as we know, a bulk of the people on there simply go for some casual, to play around, or to not have nothing serious. So regardless of what your goal is. So what I hope that people listen to and heard was that a lot of the positive things that you said, especially into relationship healing, you know, taking your time, going to therapy, everybody want to be in love. But sometimes, you know, you can't force it, because when you force it, you might end up with anybody, any piece of shit that's out here. True. So, but.
That's true. Let it be organic. Let it happen naturally. Just let it happen naturally and be organic. It's no rush, especially if you're dating with a purpose. If you know you want to be in a relationship, take your time. Don't jump into anything. It will happen naturally.
It will. But I mean, so before you get out of here, now I'm going to say, the next time you meet somebody that's 600-700 pounds, give them a shot.
Hell no. Hell no.
You ain't right. Like I said, everybody need love. Big people need love too.
I'm not knocking 600 pound people. It's just not for me. I'm attracted to, you know, men that are. I mean, I wouldn't discount. I would date a man that was overweight, but especially if he carried his weight well, not that big.
But no, because I mean, somebody like you, you know, who is positive, who is nurturing, who is very genuine. Like you might be like that. You might provide that extra boost for that man to get his life back on track.
Not no 600 pound man though. Like a man who's like, oh, maybe pushing 350.
Okay, so you got a limit. He got to be three. Okay.
I have a limit. He got to be 350 and carry himself well. You know, dress nice.
Can he be short? Can he be short? Like can he be 5'2", 5'1"? Can he be?
No, I'm 5'1". I don't want no man that's like
So y'all gonna be even. Y'all gonna be head to head. Boom. Y'all gonna be right there, side by side.
But I think anything below like 5'5" for me, it's just, I don't know. It's just too short. I'm short. I don't want to be with someone else that's like short like me.
Well, you know, well,
I'm borderline mini person, so little person. So.
I mean, you're not that short, but like I said, hopefully one day we gonna change your mind. But I gotta clap it up, man, because I appreciate you for coming by for you know, you're providing welcome. Some you're insight welcome. And hopefully people listen, because at the end of the day, we know sometimes people listen, but they don't actually listen and actually, mm-hmm. you know, hear what was said and at least try to. I'm not saying you got to attribute or use everything and put it towards your personal, but at least listen and just use some of it, because even listening and just paying attention, maybe your dating life could be better than it is right now. So that's the goal.
Thanks
so.
For having me on. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No problem. I appreciate you. I'll call you back.
All right. You have a good one. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. For stopping by the LCP, hopefully you guys listened to what she said, the dialogue, and especially on what you got to do to heal. What you have to do to become a better person, because if not, you might be that person that enters into a relationship and you are dead on arrival because you didn't take that time to better yourself while being single. Again, you cannot work on yourself so that you can be great and better for somebody else if you are consistently laying on your back, if you are consistently having casual sex. That is not working on yourself. So again, man, you guys who want to support Extra, my Cash App is $NYCStory718. My Venmo is Lunchroom Chatter Pod. Stay locked in. Stay tuned in. Y'all know what time it is. This is that.
Brand new LCP.